These appear to be dark days for the pro-life movement, and yet there is some hope that some things can be saved. We're going to talk about this right now with the Human Coalition Action Executive Director, Reverend Dean Nelson. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Reverend Nelson, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jerry, for the opportunity.
You know, as we survey the landscape right now, it does seem as if the pro-life side has lost a lot. And yet, I guess maybe that's not totally true because there are a lot of positive things going on at the state level.
Well, I think that's one of the blessings of our founders, that they established the United States of America. And so we don't have one federal group that's making all of the decisions for every one of us as citizens, but we are organized by states, and there are some positive things that are happening at the state level. But there's also champions that are still fighting for righteousness and justice, particularly in this arena of pro-life at the federal level as well.
Okay, well, I know, for example, the Hyde Amendment, which has been a bipartisan approach to not allow federal funding for abortions, it has been approved in the past, even by, for example, Joe Biden when he was a senator, Democrat senator, but he still was in favor of it. And now they have their target set for the Hyde Amendment. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we have been fighting this since the beginning of this year. We have been successful within the pro-life movement of having people on the Democrat side of the aisle like Joe Manchin that has made commitments that he will not support those provisions that the Democrats are pushing. So we've been grateful for that on the Senate side. In the House of Representatives, we have not had such champions. And so we've seen things passed without having Hyde Amendment protections. And so for those listeners of yours that may not know, the Hyde Amendment has been roughly 40 years longstanding principle that basically says that we will not have funds to be used at the federal level that would be directed towards abortion. And as you stated on the outset, President Joe Biden, when he was a senator, strongly upheld that. But when he ran this time for president, he compromised those values. And although he likes to tout being a devoted Catholic, I think that there are a lot of people that would question that because he has wavered on this and other pro-family issues. And so we are working hard to get those in the Senate to stand against any kind of bills like the reconciliation bill that's getting ready to come up for a vote and to oppose that any of those funds would be used for abortion.
Comment on Senator James Lankford and an amendment he had that was along the lines of the Hyde Amendment.
That's exactly right. It's the principles of the Hyde Amendment that Senator Lankford has put forward and has been supported by people like Senator Manchin. So we are hopeful that when this next reconciliation or rather the appropriation bill that is estimated to be about $3.5 trillion, but we at Human Coalition Action are urging all of the Senate leaders to comply and support that amendment that Senator Lankford has offered, who has been a great supporter for life and a supporter for Human Coalition as well.
Why is abortion such a critical battle? And put this in the context even of America and America's founding, what America stands for, if you would.
Yeah, I think most Americans are keenly aware of the ideals of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you can't have liberty or the pursuit of happiness if you don't first have life. And that's why we argue that it is fundamental. And so we are simply trying to push and advocate that life should extend to human beings inside of the protected place that God designed for them of their mother's womb. And so from a historical context, We have always, you know, from the founding of our country, we've had those provisions. And of course, since, you know, 1973, federally, we have seen the rights of the preborn trampled upon. But there have been huge strides. There have been, you know, people of faith, Catholic, Protestant, and others who have continued to fight this fight for over 40 years. And we are seeing some gains that are made. And it shows that, you know, the battle is never completely lost. We always have to be willing to fight in the public arena. And we're happy to see some pro-life provisions, particularly most recently, like in the state of Texas, as well as other states with heartbeat bills that are serving, or I should say saving, more lives of preborn children.
Now, I know for a fact, because you and I have done some TV interviews through Zoom and so forth, you have a large portrait of Frederick Douglass hanging in your office. Do you see this struggle for abortion? It's almost like the slavery issue of our time, in effect.
You know, it's a great comparison, I think, because for Christians, we look at this issue based on human life, based on the idea of us created in the image and likeness of God. The abolition movement arguably was a personhood movement. We understood and believed that black people, descended, you know, that came from Africa, that their human dignity was worth the same as any other person. And so that's why Frederick Douglass, you know, I have one great political idea. He said the best expression of it, I have Bible, you know, righteousness exalts a nation. And that ideal of righteousness is based in part the biblical ideal that we are created in the image and likeness of God, and that we should do right by protecting all people and affirming God's human dignity on all persons, regardless of age, regardless of size, regardless of disability, regardless of color, regardless of gender.
Do you see the pro-abortion forces in any way exploiting blacks in particular, or let's say also include Hispanics in that?
You know, it's sad, but it is true. Some of your listeners have probably heard me say before in discussing the eugenics movement and people like Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, that they did have a diabolical plot for people that they considered dysgenic stock, people that they considered feeble-minded. And then that letter that she wrote to Clarence Gamble stating that we don't want word to go out, that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Part of her strategy was to engage with church members to try to convince them to limit the number of children, which ultimately you know, grew into what we now know as the pro-abortion movement. So it's very clear that that has been part of the effort of many. Planned Parenthood's abortion, surgical abortion facilities, 80% of them can be found in black and Latino neighborhoods. And they use that rhetoric trying to convince people that they're working on behalf of minorities. If you look at some of the people who are black, representing Democrat Party in the House of Representatives, have tried to suggest that the Hyde Amendment is racist, but not all. I was happy to write an article with a Democrat senator from the state of Louisiana, Katrina Jackson, who is a wonderful African-American representative as well as an attorney, who we argued together that those who are pushing abortion in the black community might actually be the ones who are racist. And so we're trying to stand based on biblical principle, based on the understanding that all men are created equal and that children should be protected in their mother's womb just as well as children outside of the womb.
You know, and it's sad, but I look at somebody like Senator Warnock of Georgia, and he's a black minister. He even has, I guess, before he went into the Senate, was in the very pulpit of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but he's on record as being very much pro-abortion. I can't reconcile those two things.
Well, we've seen it before throughout history where people will compromise the truth for personal gain. They'll compromise the truth for political power. And I believe that that is exactly what Senator Warnock has done. And our organization, through the Frederick Douglass Foundation, as well as Human Coalition, have done rallies with ministry leaders to encourage him to reevaluate his position on the sanctity of human life. And we will continue to do that. And if he continues to vote in the way that he has already demonstrated, we're praying and hoping that he'll be replaced by a pro-life senator in the next upcoming election.
Now, part of the whole point of the Hyde Amendment is it's not just whether you agree with abortion or disagree with abortion. The point of that is people shouldn't have to fund it if they don't agree with it. So I understand that even some people who would call themselves pro-choice are actually in favor of the Hyde Amendment.
That's exactly right. We, through polling data, have seen that the majority of Americans feel that the use of federal dollars to promote abortion is wrong. We've estimated that nearly 2.5 million lives have been saved over the years since 1976 because the Hyde Amendment has been enacted. And so I think that this is a really should be a bipartisan issue. This isn't just an issue of pro-life versus pro-choice. This is an issue of using federal funds to promote the killing of preborn children. And most Americans do not agree with that.
Again, I don't want to beat this like a dead horse, but when we look at the issue of slavery, which is so important today, as we see the woke culture and all this kind of stuff, and a lot of misinformation as well. But we look back at previous generations and we say, wow, how could you possibly have justified abortion? I mean, slavery. Do you think it's possible, Reverend Nelson, people could look back at us in future times and say, wow, how could you possibly have been so apathetic about the subject of abortion, especially when it was practiced so widely in America?
I think you're right. I've often thought about that. Recently, I was with a teacher that was talking about how she had queried students in her class, and these were just young children when they asked the question about abortion, and she kind of tried to explain it in a way that a child would understand it, and the children were baffled. They could not understand why anybody would perform an abortion. So I think fundamentally, even young children know that this is wrong. We have to learn and be convinced to violate, I think, our conscience to think that this is somehow right, the taking of an innocent life of a child. So I agree with you that I believe that generations will look back on us and wonder how in the world could we have allowed for millions, tens of millions of children to be killed by willfully accepting abortion.
And it's amazing, too, because and we have about 1 minute left. The Supreme Court's going to revisit the issue. And you know, as well as I do, that however they rule, there's going to be pandemonium, at least to some degree.
Well, I think one of the things that everyone should be aware of, even if the Supreme Court does strike down Roe or parts of Roe, really what that does is simply it lends it now to the states, where states will be making those decisions. And that's why you've seen some states as far left as New York that now allow for abortion to take place up until the ninth month. Other states have now, like Texas and Arkansas, Georgia, have more restrictions on abortion. So it won't be over. Organizations like Human Coalition, through our women's clinics and the service to women seeking abortions, will be more important than ever before.
Okay, thanks so much for being with us. Your website is hucoaction.org, correct?
That's correct. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.